Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what do you guys think about the Trump baby bump? That's what I'm calling it, the Trump baby bump. Let's see, the five, I think this was Dana Perino. She was describing what this proposal is on the five on Fox News yesterday. And then I think she jumps right into the insane reaction from the ladies, if that's what you want to call them, on The View.
President Trump is considering a $5,000 baby bonus check to help the cost of raising a little one and to combat declining birth rates. But leave it to The View to call it, wait for it, racist.
In 2024, there was a 1% increase in U.S. births, but that increase was with Hispanic mothers and Asian mothers. So they don't seem to be concerned about that increase. They seem to be more concerned about a decrease in other populations.
What a bunch of nut jobs. The Trump baby bump idea is for all moms, not just white moms, Asian moms, Hispanic moms. You just have to be American moms. But leave it to the ladies, if that's what you want to call them on The View, to call everything racist. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Open lines Friday. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Alan in Whitefish, what's your thoughts on what I'm calling the Trump baby bump?
Hey, Aaron, how's it going this morning?
Hey, going great.
Hey, so I kind of want to take this a different direction. I get what Trump's trying to do, you know, because birth rates are falling. We do need more babies being born. But where's the support for dads? All I hear is support for moms. And that's great and all, moms need support, but you know what? Dads need support too. Trump's all about making America great again. Let's start by trying to repair the nuclear family unit because it is fractured and it's been incentivized to go against dads. So I would love to see him come out and propose something to help fathers because really, when you look at it, there are so many social programs geared towards single moms and there's nothing for fathers. Where's the help for dads out here?
And look at the numbers. I mean, even Barack Obama made this point about fatherless homes and how much more of a challenge those kids often face. Now, we're not judging anybody who's in that situation. Sometimes it's not of your own choosing, right? And some people figure out a great way to make it work. But no, you're exactly right. That's why a lot of the messages I've been getting this morning from the Disney family and Libby and elsewhere, they're saying, hey, you know, if we're going to have a program like that, it should support moms and dads. It should go to boost not just more, you know, more people having babies, but more families having babies, because that support structure is critical to the success of not just a program like this, but to a country like this as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that supports society because, I mean, when you really break it down, I'm a father's rights activist, so that's how I'm approaching this.
Well, it's a great point you make. Alan, thanks so much for the phone call. Got to hit the hard break here. We've got the phone lines open if you want to jump in on the conversation. 294-0970.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now I got to see if I can find the actual audio. I want to go back into the audio transcript of AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, at the rally in Missoula, Montana. So because I want to play her actual words for you. So I posted a story on our Montana Talks website yesterday. Here's the headline. Montanans need to pay attention to school board elections. We're in the middle of school board elections across the state, many communities across the state right now. I don't know about you, but when I had that, the mail-in ballot for the school board race in my neck of the woods show up, it was like, oh wow, it's here. Okay, kind of caught me by surprise. So it might be catching some of you by surprise. But anyway, in that story, I said, hey, let the words from AOC in Missoula be your warning. And I'll see if I can pull up that actual soundbite here in just a second. But first, let's jump right back into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. Randy in Livingston, I'm assuming that story must be what prompted your call this morning.
Yes, sir, and I hope you're having a good day today. Let's see. I got the envelope like we all did, and I immediately got to the computer. Who are these people, right? And I don't have children, of course. I'm retired, and I'm a little fired up here. And went ahead and looked them up. Do you think I could find any information at all? Zippo. And normally, if I'm lucky, I can find an article, you know, in the local rag, which I don't take anymore, which is too biased. And there's nothing that I could find. And if you do find something, they won't let you read it because you're not a subscriber. So it's ridiculous. I found one out of three people. Two of them are on the school board now. They're just up. So they're, you know, re-upping, right? The third person, clueless, have no idea who they are. You go to the district, look them up, see if, you know, they've got, oh, we're having an election. Well, isn't that neat? So you go look them up, and it's not a thing, nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't think average people are going to email these people and expect a response, right? This has got to change. This is silly.
Well, no, I agree with you. And that's why, you know, partly why I wanted to write that story is because, one, I worry that a lot of Montanans, that the Montana majority, and I think that's who we get the honor of talking to here on a show like this, we get to talk to the Montana majority that spoke out clearly November 5th of 2024 on what direction they want to see this state and this country headed in. I worry that Montana majority then, after a presidential race, after a Senate race, after congressional elections are in the rearview mirror, that we start to get complacent. And you know, thankfully, a lot of people are all fired up about what's going on in the state legislature. And there's various groups that are, you know, promoting various causes in the legislature. And that's great. But I'm thinking, why are school board elections catching us by surprise? Why do so many people out there not know who, you know, maybe a conservative group is backing, or a local Republican group, or if you're a Democrat, who the Democrats are backing, although I suspect they're doing a much better job in that regard. Because the radical left-wing Montana Federation of Public Employees, they are working behind the scenes to tell people who exactly to vote for. And so I reached out to some folks in the Billings area, said, hey, who are you guys backing for the school board elections in Billings? Now, I knew who I was going to vote for because John Von Langen, great guy. I see him at the gym all the time, but that's not why I'm voting for him. But I remember John Von Langen because, you know, the Billings School District 2 was a mess. Remember, they were blocking that young Billings West High School student. She has Down syndrome, and they weren't going to let her finish her senior year. And then they were forcing masks and all these other stupid things. But it was what they did to that young lady that was so outrageous that finally got people to spring into action. John Von Langen won his race by one vote. And the reason why I remember that is because I remember that school board election because my training dates, I was still in the Army Reserve at the time, and my training dates got shifted. And so I was like, oh, man, I got to leave for training. It's right in the middle of the school board race. So I went down, you know, got my absentee ballot, filled it out, dropped it in right then and there because I didn't want to miss out. That was that race. And one vote made the difference in that race. Between somebody who would force your kids to wear masks or not, between somebody who would block a young lady with Down syndrome from finishing out her senior year of high school or allow her to finish her senior year of high school. And that's how important one vote can be. But yet it seems like so many conservative groups are just absolutely complacent with this stuff. So, yeah, I reached out and anyway, got a story on our Montana Talks website about that right now. All right, let's see. Back into the phone lines we go. Speaking of the state legislature, as I understand it, Tim and Savage was telling me that the Montana State Senate yesterday afternoon was an absolute Adam Schiff show. Josh in Great Falls, what's your thoughts?
How's it going, Aaron? This is Josh Butterfly with the Prayer Warriors Tribal Council. We're actually out in the community now, and we're hitting the streets, like with the how does Bernie Sanders is doing their election thing. And what we're doing is we're actually providing the truth to the people, especially the Native people, about these Nasty Nine and these Native caucus members and what they have done to the reservations and the people of Montana through the gerrymandering process, because this does affect the schools and the funding that they get for, you know, different programs to help our kids.
Interesting. Hey, Josh, hold that thought. So that's interesting. You're saying that the nine Republicans voting with the Democrats are undermining tribal communities. I want to hear more about that. Stick with us on the phone lines here. Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
Donald Trump's America.
After his swearing in the Oval Office, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Paul Atkins said his top priority is creating a firm regulatory foundation for digital assets.
We will work to ensure that the United States is the best and most secure place in the world to invest and to do business.
Atkins served at the SEC during the George W. Bush administration and since then has been an advocate for cryptocurrency platforms.
I will work to protect investors from fraud, keep politics out of how our securities laws and regulations are applied, and advance clear rules of the road that encourage investment in our economy to the benefit of America.
President Trump won broad support from digital currency groups during the campaign and has established a first-of-its-kind strategic Bitcoin reserve and digital asset stockpile. Critics have questioned President Trump's own business interests in crypto coins. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, any second now, any minute now, we should be getting a phone call from Allie Bradley. That's the only guest. It'll be a fairly quick conversation, too. That's the only guest we've got booked for this hour of the show. The rest of the time, we're taking your phone calls. Allie Bradley is a reporter with News Nation. I don't know if you've heard about this new national news network, but they've been doing some cool stuff. She is actually on the ground. She's been on the ground in Whitefish, Montana, covering the northern border. And she was on hand as Border Patrol confronted and arrested several illegal aliens in the Flathead Valley just a couple of days ago. She's supposed to be giving us a call here any second, so we'll get to her. But in the meantime, let's go back to Josh in Great Falls. So, Josh, you know, I remember getting your phone calls before. So when I think of how the Democrats have been undermining, you know, Native Americans and you know, I mean, I think of the open borders and how they allowed the drug cartels and Tren de Aragua to flood this country, to flood Indian country, and then target Native Americans with crime and drugs and gangbangers, et cetera. So from a state legislature standpoint, how do you see the nine Republicans that are voting with the Democrats, how do you see them harming Indian country in particular?
Well, just the policies that they're voting for the Democrats, we jumped on the 2020 campaign of the C. Bullock administration to get them to apply our Native identity from the correctional institutions into the census, and they wouldn't do that. Instead, they tried to fight us. They did everything to silence us. And, you know, a lot of these Nasty Nine that sit there, you know, during the 2020, a lot of people would look at the people that switched over from Democrat to Republican. These are the same people. It's just like how what happened in the Native, where you know, you, all of a sudden after the pandemic, we have a bunch of two-spirited people, and that's what our reservations are all about. So, but that's not true. So to us, you know, the Nasty Nine represent, like, what happened is, you know, the transgenders took over, and it's just the same thing.
Interesting, because I could see where I'm trying to think. I'm like, how could you point to where they're, you know, by voting with the Democrats, they're undermining efforts. But, you know, I think about it like at the federal level. And Josh, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. You know, at the federal level, this USAID scandal, where we found that our taxpayer dollars are funding all of these left wing groups, funding all of these anti-American initiatives. It's, you know, I could see where, okay, look at all the massive overspending that's taking place in Helena right now, unless the governor's vetoes a lot of this nonsense. You know, I could see where, hey, these nine Republicans voting with the Democrats to fund all these slush funds that end up oftentimes being laundered right into these left-wing front groups that support the open borders, that support all this craziness. I could see how you could argue that this massive spending, much like at the federal level, will just end up funding a lot of these left-wing groups that go against your interests in Indian country. So, yeah, interesting phone call. Thanks for that. Barbara in Billings, stand by. We'll get to you here in just a second. But first up, we do now have with us Allie Bradley, a reporter with News Nation. Allie, great to have you on Montana Talks. And, you know, a little bit different view in Whitefish, Montana from the southern border that you typically have been covering.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me. It's definitely a juxtaposition. You know, there's no barriers up here, nothing like that. But the reality is they were never really needed up until, you know, recently. And so that's something that we were kind of looking at here. And seeing what kind of activity is going on within this little community here in Whitefish.
So you were actually traveling with Border Patrol out of the Spokane sector, which is in Whitefish, obviously. And you were there with them while they ended up arresting several illegal aliens. I tell you, they've been doing incredible work for the past, you know, pretty much ever since we got a new president on January 20th. They've been out there, you know, arresting a lot of illegal aliens in northwest Montana.
Yeah, what was really interesting is we were really, really fortunate to be the first national media to be able to go out with these individuals, the Border Patrol out here, to see them conduct these targeted enforcement operations. And we were there when one individual was in a vehicle, he was a target, so they knew exactly kind of where he was. You know, it takes days, sometimes months, to isolate these targets, to track their whereabouts, the vehicles that they might be in. There's a lot of intel that goes behind this where they're working with ICE and HSI to isolate and identify these targets. One of the individuals, he was a man from Mexico. He was in the passenger side of the vehicle. The driver was from Venezuela with temporary protected status, so he was kind of legally going through a process, so they had to let him go. They were legally obligated to do so and allow him to go through his process. But they took the other individual into custody, and then moments later, there were five other individuals. That was our initial primary target, was the driver, who had been deported at least four times. He had encounters with Border Patrol and removed back to Mexico. And he was actually running business in Whitefish illegally, hiring illegal immigrants to work for him. So all of those five individuals in that car, the four were, you know, kind of collateral, but they believe those were individuals that he was hiring to work for him here illegally as well. So all of those individuals were apprehended in a single day out here in Whitefish. And it was really interesting because I asked the chief, Chief Jason Levy, what, you know, if we were seeing more people living here illegally, what was going on as to why we were seeing kind of an increase in these arrests? And it's not necessarily because there's a surge of illegal immigrants. That's already here, right? The interior issue, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They're in the country. But they were not able to go out and find them because they were so busy helping with the surge at the southern border, whether they were deployed down to the southern border from up here. So the you know, the people were kind of just here without any kind of checks and balances because Border Patrol was not running around out here, or they were tied up in virtual processing so that they could assist with the surge that was happening at the southern border. So you're going to see a lot more arrests of illegal immigrants in these communities because agents are actually able to go out and do their job right now. And so that is what they were able to do. Everything kind of went by the book that they expected to happen. The chief saying, you know, it was a good day and everyone went home safely. And that's what they hope for whenever they're going out on these operations, you know. And again, they are targeted individuals. They're not going up, you know, in random traffic stops, going up and knocking on doors and asking people for their papers. They knew exactly who these individuals were before they even came, you know, encountered them.
Yeah, what I found the most fascinating from your report was what you just mentioned, because your national audience, I'm sure, is like, what? Illegal aliens in Whitefish, Montana, this beautiful ski town and lake town, mm-hmm. and used to be known as a railroad town and a logging town, but it's all the above, really. But that's what they would be interested in, whereas for me as a Montana guy, it's like, wow, you just got confirmation from the local Border Patrol officials that they were deliberately being diverted from doing their job protecting the northern border to simply processing illegal aliens into this country, not blocking criminal illegals from coming into this country, but processing their paperwork. And because there was a time when the number of suspects on the terrorist watch list crossing the northern border were bigger in number than the southern border.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've seen over the last 4 years, is that have been the kind of staggering statistic there, is that those individuals, special interest countries, the people on the terrorist watch list that's, you know, monitored by the FBI and other entities, they were coming through the northern border because they were able to kind of, Canada had different regulations on visas and things like that. So whether they were able to get smuggled into Canada or fly right in, and then they're turning around and walking into our country. And that was a reality there. And knowing that we didn't have agents shoulder to shoulder, we didn't have the manpower up there, you know, during that time frame. That's exactly what the chief even said, you know, what's getting through. And that includes people. It's not just drugs, right? It includes the individuals they weren't able to apprehend either. And so that is a concern because, again, those individuals are now in our country somewhere. And that is what ICE is working on, and Border Patrol, you know, every single day trying to identify those individuals and remove them.
Yeah, you obviously mostly work on the southern border, so you've seen how that's been hardened now thanks to President Trump. But the northern border, I mean, we've got wide open terrain. The Yak, mm-hmm. the wilderness out there in the Yak, I mean, good luck finding anybody out there. Lake Coconusa, I've been on a pontoon boat on the border of the U.S. and Canada out in the middle of Lake Coconusa. And so when I shared your report on X a couple of days ago, I got a couple of great responses from John Fabricatori, who is a former ICE field office director. I got another response from Dan Bruner, a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Montana. And they both said, this is why we've got to shift attention to focus on the northern border right now, because that is a wide open opportunity with the southern border locked down.
Oh, 100%. You look at Lake Coconusa, you know, and it's recreating all day. You've got people coming in from Canada, you know, frequenting these small businesses on the U.S. side, going back and forth. And it's almost impossible to sift through who those people are and what they're doing, right? So the acting chief actually told me that while they are working on getting vehicle barriers up at the northern border with Canada on the land side of things, they're actually talking with the superintendent there, which is essentially like a chief of police up there, which I'm sure you know because you live at the northern border. It's just different across the country. But in Canada, they're talking with the superintendent of the British Columbia area to jointly fund vehicle barriers. They look like what we call Normandy fencing. It's just kind of X's, so it will keep, you know, ATVs out, it'll keep vehicles out, it'll keep snowmobiles out, things like that. So they're working on that. The chief said that they're hoping to get that jointly funded. They're kind of putting some pressure on Canada, saying, hey, people might be walking up to your country to try to get out of the U.S. too with all these deportations. It works for both of us. So they're working on that. But going back to the lake side of things, they're actually in the talks and the planning phases of buoy barriers across that navigable water. So Lake Coconusa could soon see those big orange floating balls across the middle of the lake blocking off Canada. The chief said one of the solutions for Canadians that want to come over, they have an app called CBP Roam. They could log in, say, hey, me and my family are coming over on the boat in a couple hours or tomorrow. This is what kind of, you know, vessel we're in. This is what we're doing. And kind of checks and balances there.
Oh, interesting.
To help Border Patrol and to get around that barrier because, again, they don't know who's coming over and they're kind of able to freely come and go. And the president right now does not want any incursions, zero crossings, zero gotaways. So Border Patrol is doing what they can.
Well, great reporting.
Proactive measures.
Great reporting. Allie Bradley, I got to hit the hard break here. I'm assuming you got to run. We're going to run to the quick break here. But we'll be back right after this. Stand by. We'll get back to your phone calls and more right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
For most U.S. farm and ranch households, income from off-farm jobs like teaching, driving a bus, or managing a bank branch helps keep an operation running. In 2023, a Farm Bureau report says 23% of farm household incomes for farm families comes from farming itself, which means 77% of the income comes from other sources. Back in 2003, 96% of farm operators, the principal operator and their spouse, earned money from off-farm sources. About 72% of the off-farm income in recent years has come from earned sources like wages and salaries, which is 61%, and non-farm business income, 11%. The other 28% came from unearned sources like Social Security, veterans benefits, pensions, dividends, and interest. The smaller the farm, the more dependent on off-farm employment. Among farms with less than $100,000 in gross sales, over 60% of those operators worked at least one day off the farm. And for our ranchers that graze on federal lands, registration is now open for the Public Lands Council's 57th annual meeting to be held in Flagstaff, Arizona, September 16th through the 18th. For more information on how you can register and attend the event, visit publiclandscouncil.org. I'm Lane Northmond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to cue up the Dana Perino reaction to the Trump baby bump. That's what I'm calling it, the Trump baby bump. This idea of giving $5,000 to American moms to help expand the birth rate here in America. But first off, isn't it just kind of funny that folks on the left are even debating this whole idea? The fact that they're even pretending to care about the birth rate in America. I saw one of my more liberal friends on Facebook. He was saying, well, isn't this why we need illegal aliens? Is because we need more people. Okay, wait a minute. Whoa, let's bring this to a screeching halt right here. These folks on the left have been lecturing us about climate change. The folks on the left have been telling us, stop having babies, stop having kids, stop feeding cows, stop going on family vacations because of climate change. But now they're telling us, you don't need more American babies. You need more illegal aliens. Now they're saying, hey, no, we're all about having more people as long as they're MS-13 gangbangers. Totally cool with more people if they're MS-13 gangbangers. But Americans, can't have more of that. No. Climate change. Let's go back to this whole Trump baby bump idea here. Barbara in Billings, thanks for patiently waiting on the phone lines. What's your thoughts, Barbara?
Well, I think they should forget that baby bonus. $5,000 doesn't even cover the first year by the time you buy a crib and a high chair and whatever else. Instead, to support the nuclear family, they need to get rid of the IRS marriage penalty and put in a big tax deduction for married Americans.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, same thing with the state of Montana. The legislature's still in session. I mean, I understand they moved forward with tax simplification the last go around to more mirror the Fed system to simplify taxes. Some people saw a bump as a result of that. Thankfully, income tax relief, the governor said he will sign that into law. But why not have marriage promotion within the tax code instead of punishing people for being married? And what about the importance of fathers as well? That's what a previous caller mentioned.
Right. Married Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great point. Well, anything else you wanted to share, Barbara?
Well, no, not a whole lot other than the fact that all these people all of a sudden need a whole lot of electricity for their AI, and we had to sit through 1974 with no Christmas lights and freeze in our sweaters. But other than that, no, have a good one.
Hey, great point. Yeah, great point. Yeah, these people that love AI, that love artificial intelligence, probably the same people that were lecturing us about not having kids because of climate change. But they want to play around on their AI now, so now they need electricity. And now they're so desperate for electricity that they don't even care where it comes from anymore. They just want They're just smacking their arms. Give me that. Give me that juice, man. Give me that juice. All right. By how quickly the world changes, doesn't it? So Pam Purinton is a former member of the Billings City Council. She's head of the Yellowstone County Republicans. She sent me a message. Let me see. What did Pam say here? Just so I can read it word for word here. She says, okay, she's on her way to something, but she says so she can't call in. She says, but the conversation on tax credits to encourage growing the population. Lean in on Dana Perino's comments from The Five. She was spot on. It's not the government's job to pay for babies. Okay, what did Dana Perino have to say? I'll get to that. But first, Greg Gutfeld going after The View for claiming that somehow this is racist to offer a baby bump here.
Hey, Greg, talk about a lazy argument. It's racist.
Well, you know what? The View needs to do a segment on things they don't believe is racist.
Yeah.
It would last maybe 10 seconds.
Right.
And then Sonny would say, that segment is racist. Because in The View's world, everything is racist because they don't have to do any research. They don't have to think. They just sit down and they go, what is in my filter? How can I make this racist? Here's a fun little experiment. So, okay.
All right, well, let's hold it right there. So that was Greg Gutfeld on The Five yesterday. I think, let me see if I cue it up in the right. Actually, I'm going to back it up just a little bit so we don't miss any of Dana Perino's commentary per Pam Purinton's guidance.
It's a great question. And Dana.
Thank you, Kaylee.
I loved it. Dana, Whoopi was saying that $5,000, she was making fun of it, essentially saying it was small potatoes. But to a lot of people, $5,000 is something they could use.
It is. I think that the White House is throwing up a bunch of trial balloons just to see, like, what do you think about this? And there's ideas everywhere that this idea has been tried in the world. It hasn't worked out. It's not the answer. I believe that we need to figure out a way to encourage people to have more children. One of the concerns that a lot of families have is the cost, and $5,000 isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, all right, there you go. That's what Dana Perino had to say. I'm sure there was more to it than that, but that was the only audio that I had captured earlier this morning from Dana. So, yeah, you can find the full thing, foxnews.com/video, if you want to watch more. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Wasn't that an incredible report from Ali Bradley with News Nation? Earlier this morning, I was during the break, I was talking with Ali Bradley because we ran out of time while she was on the air with us. And so I asked her, I said, hey, was this your first trip to Whitefish? And she said, yeah, it's her first trip ever to Whitefish. But she grew up in Washington State. So, you know, she's from the general area. But, yeah, she talked about the trip. And apparently she's got family that now live north of Whitefish as well. So she'll be looking for a good excuse to come back and report more on this story about all the illegal aliens now thankfully being rolled up by the Border Patrol in northwest Montana. Ron in Whitefish next up on the phone lines. Ron, what's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I got you.
Yeah, on that Whitefish thing there, it was kind of interesting because I haven't heard a peep in our local newspaper in the Daily Interlink about that. And I know a while back I heard that there was, you know, over a dozen illegals in Bigfoot, you know, that had been apprehended down there too. And there's nothing in our local newspaper. Now, I can read about illegal immigrants in New York or Philadelphia or Atlanta or Texas or someplace like that, but there's absolutely no news coverage in our local newspapers in regards to that. Now,
interesting.
Did I understand, you know, the gal that you just had on your program there, did she say that what did she say about the employer?
So what she said was that one of the illegal aliens that was rolled up by the Border Patrol in Whitefish was actually running his own business in Whitefish. So, yeah, so that's how much the Joe Biden, John Tester regime allowed these illegal aliens to invade this country and then to take root in this country as well.
Well, the reason I say that is because when they showed the picture, I can't remember what media outlet, it was probably Facebook or something, it showed about seven of these people, and they all had hoodies on with a logo on them for a local whooping company, And so I was just wondering if the owner of that company, you know, is running something or...
I know exactly what you're talking about. We had that photo on our Montana Talks website. Let me see if I can pull it up here, because I was chatting with David Noble about this story. This was another story going back a few weeks ago now, where Border Patrol had rolled up several illegal aliens in the Flathead Valley. And I'm going to the Montana Talks website. I've got a whole page dedicated to illegal immigration. And I'm trying to find that exact photo that you had, because, yeah, you're right. Several of the guys who were arrested in their arrest photo that was shared by the Border Patrol, they all had on sweatshirts for a certain roofing company, which was kind of curious, because David Noble has told us, because he knows about this through his work as a lawyer, that that there are, you know, roofing companies here in Montana that are doing it the right way, not hiring illegal aliens, and then they're getting outbid by some other company that hires illegal aliens. And how unfair is that? Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, that was about all I really had, but I was just kind of curious, because I don't know if the owner of that roofing company was part of it, you know, an illegal or...
Well, it's a good question. I'm sure Border Patrol, ICE, and others... Yeah, the moment they saw that same picture you saw, they were looking into it. So who knows if that is the connection or if there is another one. All right, let's sneak in another caller before the break. Rick in Billings, we got about 30 seconds before the break. What do you want to share?
Well, I'm not from California, but I lived there when Reagan was president. Washington and Oregon were fully red states at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They moved people up there, all right, and they formed committees and groups, and they moved people up there from California to get elected into these school boards. And then they start the school board, then they get on the city council, and then they just keep going and going and going until you next thing you know, Washington and Oregon are blue states.
Hold that thought. That's a fascinating point here, Rick, because how many people on our side ignore some of those local races and then wonder why, oh, hey, where did these people come from at the state level? So stand by. I'll come back to you after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hopefully Rick in Billings is able to stick with us there through the break, because I want to come back to him in just a second. Plus, Rick reminded me I've got to play the soundbite from AOC at the rally in Missoula, because it goes right back to his phone call and an earlier caller out of Livingston talking about school board elections. But yeah, call in right now if you want to be heard. If you call right now, I should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. We love your phone calls. Really, that is what energizes this show. I know it's what energizes me, is getting a chance to hear from folks all across Montana. Let me tell you what else energizes me. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's exactly what I told you. It's power, it's energy, plus pain reliever, all in one little shot. It's like an energy drink that you would get at the gas station, one of those small bottles, except for without all the chemicals. It's natural, and it's got natural vitamins that help with the aches and pains that you get from maintaining that active lifestyle. But here's the best part. This product was built by a United States Marine Corps veteran from Big Fork, Montana. I met Lee at Trump's inauguration, and he sent me some of his products. Great stuff. Check it out. Go to drinkpowerplus.com. And here's the deal. If you enter this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15, enter that code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. Okay, let me play this soundbite, and then I'll go back to Rick in Billings here. Listen to what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just said in Missoula, Montana, not even 2 weeks ago, about a week and a half ago. And remember, the Democrats just got spanked, got walloped in the November elections. And yet listen to what she said to the far-left activists in Missoula, Montana at the Adams Center.
But we are here Montana, because we are here for the school boards and the community associations. We're here for the small business groups and the town councils, for public art and gestures of inclusion, and we will build from there. So, folks, you know what that means. We will start working now to give your Republican representatives the boot and replace them with a brawling Democrat who will stand up for the working people of Montana.
Yeah, give me a break. Oh, you'll stand up for the working people of Montana as you stand up against President Trump's efforts to finally deliver for the working men and women of Montana. Oh, you want to tax us more out of our working paychecks. But anyway, but Rick in Billings, are you still there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here.
What she just said right there reinforces your very point here, that so many people, they ignore city council elections, they ignore school board elections, they ignore, you know, what may not seem like political positions, like, hey, who is serving on your local ag association board? Who's on the humanities board? Who's on that board? The left will try to consume all of that so they can push this fake phony narrative and then eventually take control of bigger offices.
Right. Yeah, I'd never heard her ramble over there at Missoula, but I don't know. I mean, the way she talks, you really can't get much more communist than that, can you?
You know? Taking over it all.
We don't work hard for the working people. Man, sounds like Stalin and Lenin all over again, you know?
Yeah, it's like which working people? The timber workers that you kick to the curb? The coal miners that you try to kick to the curb? The people that you overtax? Wait, which workers?
Yeah, so people in Montana, you know, I witnessed this happen. When I left California, Oregon and Washington had become completely red, and I'm sure mail-in voting helped with that. So if you're in Montana...
And illegal aliens,
you
know, too.
That, and you better, I could tell you another story about that if you got a second real quick. We passed a resolution in California in the mid-80s, and it was Prop 187, I think. Everyone had a vote. We voted overwhelmingly, like 87%. To not fund illegal immigrants, illegal aliens for anything, schools, health care, any of that. We voted against it. That one Judge Molly on the 9th District out here, okay, he deemed the entire thing unconstitutional. So why even have a vote?
That's why we got to stand up to these judges and we got to deliver on judicial reform because they don't care what the people say, even through a our own Montana Supreme Court. The people have the ability to amend our Montana Constitution. The people of Montana did that very thing, and the Montana Supreme Court said, we don't care. We don't care.
Well, maybe these Democrat judges need to run into some brawling Republicans and kick them out.
Well, exactly. That's why I know one more check mark. You know, the governor, he did signal yesterday that he will sign this income tax relief plan. So I saw him. He's got five things on a checklist of his agenda that he's hoping to see the legislature accomplish before they wrap up work, likely next week. He's now checked off increasing entry-level teacher pay. That box has been checked off with the STARS Act. And then yesterday he started checking off income tax relief. Another box that needs to be checked off is judicial reform. Absolutely must happen because that's what you're seeing happen. Look at this radical leftist LGBTQ judge in Missoula. He says men have more privacy rights than women do. Men deserve the privacy rights to strip away the privacy rights of women and girls, even as the grown men strip in your locker rooms in front of you. That's why these judges got to absolutely be reined in.